This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Good afternoon, everybody, and thank you, Jamal. This is, in fact, the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on this Thursday already, September 17th, 2020. Kay LaGreca-Rosenberg, we're apart, but we're together for the next 4 hours. The other 20, your responsibility. You know, I get ripped so much over the years for not intimately involving Donald and Peter in the Yankee broadcast. Another name drop yesterday during the Yankee broadcast. And rather than get lauded for it, when I get ripped for it, when I don't say it, now it's not even mentioned when I do say it. Yesterday was Peter's turn. He got mentioned because we talked about adding the Y at the end of the name. And I gave you credit because you asked Aaron Boone that question. So how about a little love for me?
You know what? I did hear about that from RJ yesterday. I wish one day there was audio of one of these things. I've never heard any of them. I've only heard about them. I'm not saying I don't believe you. I mostly believe you. But... what did you exactly say? I want the word for word, please.
I said, you know, we were talking about adding a Y at the end of names and how it's become like almost a distraction. It's become laughable. People snicker behind the manager's back. And on my radio show, Peter Rosenberg asked Aaron Boone about adding a Y at the end of name. We talked about Judgy and how he wants to go AJ and stuff like that. So, total credit to you. I didn't ask that question.
Wait,
I wouldn't be silly enough to ask the question.
Excuse me?
So he wants credit for giving you credit, Peter.
But you guys always talk about how I don't involve you in the Yankee broadcast, how I wouldn't let you in the booth or do an inning.
Well, that's what we're asking about. You can mention my name 1,000 times. I want to get in the booth. I want to do an inning with you.
Do you really think that I'm the one you should be talking to, or maybe it should be Flip? Since I don't make those decisions, I'm in the booth because of Flip. Not because I decided to walk in the booth and do Yankee games.
But I think you agree. Flip doesn't want it, and I think you agree.
I wouldn't say that.
I'm busy now. We're in a pandemic. I got kids. I don't care anymore.
But Don, hold on. We've moved on to something. We've moved on almost a little too quickly from one thing here, though. Is that Michael wants credit, but on the show, you mock my questions when we have a guest like Aaron Boone. I asked two questions that were off the beaten path yesterday, and I know Don will tell the truth. I don't think you will. Don made a joke leading up to it, but not afterwards. I think Don would agree that both of my questions were phenomenal.
I was going to text you, but since I don't get a response all the time, I didn't bother.
He's very
but
busy.
I thought they were brilliant. Both of them were brilliant. Honestly, I thought the lighthearted one was tremendous because we were all thinking the same thing. Why all the why at the end of all the names? And then I thought that was a tremendous question.
I thought it would be a tremendous question, the second one that you're talking about being the dad of two children of color when he has not experienced the things that he's warning them about. Brilliant question, if in fact he was hosting 60 Minutes, but he wasn't. I thought the venue was wrong.
Really?
Yeah, I really
thought
so.
Wait, hold on.
We're trying to get all the information. We don't get Aaron Boone that often, so I don't want to get into his soul.
So I get very important worldly information that could have been written up all over the place. People want to know what a unique circumstance it is.
Was his emotional talk about his family and what's happening socially, did it happen on Tamron Hall? When did that happen?
Mm. But he brought it up.
Right, where did he bring it up?
We have him
where did he
for
bring
a very confined period of time.
It's a terrible take.
So then Peter asked this very provocative question.
It wasn't provocative.
It was good. It was deep.
I gotta be
not
honest
the
you.
Right time for
no.
it. My
I got to be honest
terrible.
With you. It was amazing, and I'll take it this far. Probably should have been the entire interview, and I'm going to tell you why.
Great question.
Because I want to know what all these Yankee fans have to say now that the Yankees are scoring like 15 runs a game and can't be beaten, about how Boone's not the right guy, how Boone needs to go.
I agree.
They didn't deserve a baseball interview yesterday. The Yankee fans didn't deserve a baseball interview because they're all tangled and twisted and pretzeled up on how to feel about this guy right now, because now they love him, but the second they lose a couple of games in a row, they're going to want him fired. So they're frauds. They don't deserve the baseball interview. I thought that was provocative. I thought it was interesting, and I thought it was fun. So, Peter, tremendous job. Don't let anybody else tell you any different.
I wouldn't, Don. I wouldn't listen to anyone who would say such.
Well, listen, yes is so down on him, and obviously his camera's not working. So
We're having a Skype issue at the moment.
Well, here's the deal, Peter. If the Yankees win the World Series this year, and then we have Aaron Boone on a very special center stage, I will call you out of the audience to do that line of questioning, which you're so good at.
Thank you.
Look, Peter's not just an S for Skype. Look at him, Don. Look at the screen. Just an S for Skype.
Oh,
he's never looked better.
I know nothing.
Little bit behind. There it is. Oh,
now that's sad. I don't know why they're bothering doing that. That's not nice. But
well, I think they're sending a message, Peter. We should change the subject.
No, that's not what they're saying. Now, listen.
No, that's what the S stands for. Subject. Change it.
So, one other thing off the beaten path. Do you guys remember a few weeks ago, maybe 5-6 weeks ago at this point, I talked about the footage I have for my Tyson project, and a kid named Matt called up who wanted to work with me.
It wasn't weeks ago. It was months.
No, it was
It was months.
I think about 6 weeks ago.
Okay. Well,
it was the summer for sure. Anyways, he came over yesterday. I met the young man.
Okay.
And we started a little bit of work on this thing, and I've decided on the format that I think I'd like to work towards, and I mentioned this to my brother. And you know what my brother said, Don? He said, it sounds to me like this would be what you should do is go to Michael K and and think that this Tyson special should be a special center stage project. And I said, boy, you don't know Michael K.
No, I have no idea who he is.
First of all,
he would let me near his center stage brand?
This is the same family contribution that my mom makes when I want, to take vacation, and my mom thinks I have to ask Michael if I can get off. Right? So that's the same. It's like that he's putting way too much. He just doesn't know who he's dealing with.
A couple of things. Tell Nick to pipe down and mind his business. That's number one. Number two, that's not center stage. It's not a documentary.
No.
It's a one-on-one interview. You're going to bring I've already had Tyson on. He's in the book.
So if it's in the book, but you've never had a repeat guest?
He's a very scared man. Yeah, I've had a repeat guest. I think Tom Coughlin was a repeat guest, and I think Regis was a repeat guest.
I would argue, and I know
and Billy Crystal and Bob Costas, 4 repeat guests.
There are very few people more in the category of worthy for repeat guests than Mike Tyson.
Well, I'll have him on again, and you could just use clips from the show for your documentary, but you're not getting on center stage.
See,
the only way you're getting on center stage is if you do something revelatory in the world.
I can't wait until I earn a center stage,
and then you turn me down.
Oh, my God. My PR people won't even take your call.
Okay, so when that happens, I'll probably be about 75. I'm probably not going to be doing it at that point.
75? That's in the next few years, right? You're 71 now.
No. All right, let's talk about the Yankees last night and the Mets, too, but we'll start with the Yankees. Time for the Yankee Pinstripe Report brought to you by Budweiser. 7 home runs yesterday, 6 home runs the day before. Amazing the stats that come up that you never think that they could be stats, right? The Yankees, who are the Bronx Bombers, I mean, their name is derived from the fact that they've hit home runs through all the years. First time ever, back-to-back games, 6 or more home runs, ever in their history. First time ever that the number one hitter, DJ LeMahieu, and the number 9 hitter, Kyle Higashioka, had 2 or more home runs. First time ever. Now, that makes sense because you'd have to go at least back to when the DH started in the early 70s. Because there's no way a pitcher would probably hit 2 home runs, although Mel Stottlemyre had his opportunity. So you start, I'd say, so that would give you 47 years of, wow, that's never happened before. The Yankees just, what's happening to me is I think we're seeing that the Yankees are closer to 16-16 than the 5-15 team. And I think what you also see, and this will probably anger the Blue Jays who have the show on in their clubhouse right now, and they're about to play the third game against the Yankees. The Blue Jays aren't close to the team the Yankees are. The Orioles aren't close to the team the Yankees are. They're not. They don't belong on the same field. And it shows you how badly the Yankees were playing when they lost 3 out of 4 to the Orioles. So they come back when they start to feel good about themselves. They win 4 in a row. Then in Buffalo last week, they lose 2 out of 3 to the Blue Jays. They shouldn't. Hey, the Blue Jays are a nice team, and I think they're going to be a really difficult team in the future. But then they're not on the class of the Yankees right now. They're just not. And I think that the Yankees' recent play now has put the onus back on them. They have to win the World Series. This team was built to win the World Series. Now, I'm not going to be George Steinbrenner and say, well, they don't win the World Series. It's a failure. But you've got to recalibrate your thoughts, because a week and a half ago we were saying, gee, I hope they just make the playoffs. Well, no. Now it's not. They're making the playoffs. Now they should beat every single team that's in the playoffs, including the team with the best record, the Chicago White Sox. The Yankees are an outstanding team. And I think they should be able to show that in the postseason. Yesterday, Judge shows that timing's not right yet, but it'll get there. Stanton, same thing. It'll get there. So when you have Stanton, Judge, Gleyber Torres, Urshela in the lineup to go along with LeMahieu and Luke Voit, that's a great lineup. So the struggles of 5-15 and losing 5 in a row, it should be out of the brain of Yankee fans right now. And now you have to look at this and say, this is a World Series team. And if they don't win the World Series, you know what? This year was not what they wanted it to be, because they built it over 162 games for them to win the World Series. And they've got some tough competition. Dodgers are a great team. San Diego's proven to be a really good team. White Sox are a really good team. The A's are a really good team. Tampa Bay Rays are a really good team. Yankees are as good as all of them. So either they win the World Series, or you could say, you know what, they didn't do what they should be doing this year. Because I think the team now is on that level, Don.
Yeah, well, then wake me in October then, right? Because what else is there to talk about?
Because October starts in 10 games after today.
I know, so that's it. So right now it's just about making sure everybody stays healthy. Because when healthy, they're a dangerous team, as you mentioned before. Now you just got to hope that nothing happens to Stanton and Judge between now and when the playoffs begin. And then once we get to the playoffs, we'll see. But as I mentioned before, Michael, there's still question marks, because this team has won 203 games over the last 2 years and didn't go to the World Series. So there's still that ghost you've got to deal with. Kind of like Peter, right, with Tiger Woods. It's like, is it the injuries or does he have the yips? Well, go out there, win a major, and then we'll have a discussion.
Doesn't look like he's going to win a major this weekend. Not after today, Petey.
Oh, I didn't even see what he did.
Oh, he just collapsed in the first round at Wingfoot.
But you'll know my overall point, Peter, is that now you got to go out and do it. So, you know, it's kind of frustrating when it's 16-6, oh, they're the best team in baseball. Then they lose 7 in a row, and it's like, oh, they may not make the playoffs. And it wasn't that long ago we were having a discussion, they may be missing the playoffs, and then you rattle off 7-8 wins in a row, and you're clubbing home runs all over the place, and now everything's back to normal. I guess right now it's like, get to October, and let's see what this team can finally do in October.
Yeah,
because you got a team in the Dodgers that have been consistent all year. They're 35-15, so they're certainly going to have something to say about it. And you're going to have teams in the American League that are going to have something to say about it as well. So I understand it's World Series or bust. I get it, but you got to prove it, because again, 203 wins over the last 2 years and not a World Series appearance in either of those two. So they're going to have those demons to overcome. Stay healthy. But right now, it's okay. Let's just get to October already, really. Because the way they're playing right now, does it matter who you play? Does it matter where you play?
Nope.
So just get there already. And history has shown that for every day they play, there's always some kind of injury. Something's going to happen that can derail it. So if I'm a Yankee fan, hit the fast forward button. Get to October. Let's play the postseason already.
And I also wonder what all the overreactors think right now. Because remember, everybody was like bailing on Gerrit Cole. How could they say he's not that? He's not that. Well, you know why? He is that pitcher. And the last two games, he has no hitter, perfect game sort of stuff. That's how good he's been. He has turned the corner, and he's the guy that won 20 games in a row. He's the guy the Yankees gave $336 million to. This is the guy. That's how good this guy is. Now, the Yankees have a really tough decision. He obviously has pitched three great games in a row to Kyle Higashioka. And he had a great answer yesterday. He said, well, he's not my personal catcher. The way he's hitting, I'm his personal pitcher. But are you shutting down Gary Sanchez in game one of every single postseason? Well, are you?
Why not?
Because they did it with A.J. Burnett in 2009. A.J. Burnett did not like pitching to Posada. And every single game, Girardi started Molina behind the plate. So there is precedent. But A.J. Burnett was not the number one starter on the team.
But I don't even know why it's even a conversation, Michael. The guy can't hit, period.
You're right.
136.
So and then what I asked to Boone yesterday, I think, is applicable. It's not about, like, worried about the future now. Who gives you the best chance to win? Now, I'm not going to say I'm going to get seduced by Higashioka hitting three home runs yesterday. But he's more productive than Gary Sanchez at this point.
Hey, if your ace that you spent all this money for feels more comfortable with Higgy behind the plate, then that's who's behind the plate. Because what exactly are you getting in Sanchez? Honestly, I don't want to sound like Gil. I don't want to sound like every typical Yankee fan. But like last year, it was a question, what are you doing? And now you're a year removed from that, and it's the same conversation. He's a 136 hitter. What, 7 home runs, 15 RBIs? I mean, I don't see what sacrifice you're really making. Because it's not about, all right, we don't want to bruise his ego. All right, this is our long-term answer. I'm sorry, you're out to win a championship. It's right there for the taking. You spend all this money for Cole. Cole feels comfortable with him. Higashioka's not an automatic out. He's probably a better hitter right now than Sanchez. I don't even know what the dilemma is. What is it? It's easy for me. At least back in 09, you're talking about Jorge Posada. He's a borderline Hall of Famer. He had won championships for you. That was like a legitimate question. What is Gary Sanchez right now, other than just an ordinary baseball player?
You know what? I like Sanchez, and I think there's more there than what he's shown this year. But right now, it's about who's performing, baby. They've made that decision, obviously, with Clint Frazier, and that's the right decision because as much as I like Brett Gardner, he's not producing like Clint Frazier. Clint Frazier deserves to be in the starting lineup, and he is. I don't care about the future. I don't care about what you've done. If Gary's not going to hit over 130. And, you know, he as much of a good arm as he has, he certainly improved his framing skills. Then you got to play the player that's playing the best. I mean, Gary Sanchez's struggles are keeping the Yankees from sending Eric Kratz out. They're carrying 3 catchers.
Yeah.
So I know that they still believe there's a pot of gold at the end of the Gary Sanchez rainbow. I'm not searching for that pot of gold in October. I'm playing the best player.
Then you just shelve it, right? You just shelve it away, and then you work on it during the regular spring training and regular season next year, and you kind of figure it out. But right now, I'm sorry, can't be hurt feelings. Because what message does that send to the rest of the team?
Good point.
That I'm working my tail off to get in this lineup, and this guy that can't hit, you're bending over backwards to get in the start important games? So it's about winning, right? It's about winning that championship, that elusive championship, by the way. So go out there and get it. I can't imagine that there would be any. What's the negative? The fans aren't going to care. They're going to love it. I think it gives you a better chance to win. Maybe it affects him, Sanchez, psychologically.
That's the negative. That's it.
But I'm sorry. That's on him.
No, it's a big boy league. He's got to get over it.
It's the New York Yankees, man. This is one of the best baseball teams in the world. And it takes a lot to be able to make it and to be on it. And you got guys that are getting the job done that are going to have to sit so they can figure this guy out for the future?
And also, if it was a small sample size, I could see it. But he hasn't hit since the middle of last year. I'm sorry, Peter, I interrupted you.
No, do you have any recollection? Can you ever think of someone playing and a team continuing to give them a shot with them consistently batting 130?
Mm. Yeah, Chris Davis. Because of the contract they have in him.
Because of the contract, and they tried to keep forcing and forcing and forcing. I don't even remember in my childhood, guys. Tell me if I'm wrong. When I was most into baseball, up through my teenage years, I don't remember anyone starting in baseball who batted in the 100s.
Well, now they would tell you that in the analytic age, they don't care that much about average. But they do care about slugging, and he's not slugging either, and he's striking out 42% of the time. So they're going to wait and wait and wait and hope that it turns around. But I think that once the clock hits October and they start that 3-game series, you got to play the best player. You can't be worried about people's feelings or possibly hurting his value. No team has ever bent over more backwards for a player than the Yankees have on Gary. And he has shown glimpses of not good, but great. He's been great at times, but he has not been great since the middle of last year. So I'm not, you know me. I make fun of fans that do this. I don't react on small sample sizes. It's not a small sample size. But he looks lost at the plate.
But every conversation, like you brought up Chris Davis, justify the contract.
That's right.
Cano playing last year, justify the contract. You're not justifying a contract here.
No.
You're kind of justifying your own prognostication of
exactly
what you think that player could be.
Right.
So that's probably, Peter, that's probably never happened in the history of sports. I can't think of it where it's not because of money, because money obviously drives a lot. I believe this guy is going to be good, and I don't care what happens. I'm going to prove it to you for this long a period of time.
Well, that's the Yankee Pinstripe Report brought to you by Budweiser, Major League Beer. So the Yankees in the last 2 games against Toronto have scored 33 runs. 33 runs. All right, so Bleak Baseball just tweeted me, and I love the way Bleak thinks. It's funny you get ripped for not name-dropping, but when you do, they don't hear it. And then he puts in all caps, because they do not listen to your broadcast. No. Blasphemy.
Wait a minute. Michael, correct him.
Well, you didn't yesterday. Every time I've mentioned your name in the last 3 days, I know you listen a lot. You have not listened.
I have not heard it, no. But don't.
Wow,
but do I watch Yankee baseball more than anybody on this show?
Yes.
Do I not
watch?
There's
only three of us, and I don't watch at all.
No, I'm talking about Andrew.
No, I think RJ might watch more.
All right, well,
yeah, RJ does.
All right, of the actual non-fans. And what do I watch when Mets and Yankees play? When I have another option, what do I watch?
Me.
So I don't understand why I just didn't happen to hear the couple of times that I was, and I've been mentioned before. Right? So that's not doing anything for me. I just said I wanted some respect. I wanted a little respect where I don't understand why Yes wouldn't want to promote something that's on their air more than the Yankees are to promote, stick us in for an inning.
There you go.
Promote the show. Hey, what are you doing at 3-7 every day? Hey, here's two of the guys I work with every day. I'm not asking to call the game, but you could work around it.
Again,
no, Don,
I will.
Don't
you know what? I will text both of you Flip's number. I think that I believe that
I
you both have it.
Flip is wrong.
If Flip
doesn't think that we have value to a broadcast, he is wrong.
But Don,
he didn't say that.
And he never said that. But Don, don't back off of the idea we had yesterday. You're already forgetting. The plan is we call a full game with Michael in spring training. That's my goal now. I don't want an inning in a regular game. I get it. That's like synagogue on Yom Kippur. You're not going to get it. I just want a regular old Shabbos service. You know what I'm saying? Don, spring training, just the three of us having some fun.
I understand that that's very doable because it's a spring training game. I'm not asking
to call the game. They're never traveling for games ever again anyway. So all we have to do is go to the stadium.
I'm not asking to call the game. I'm just asking to be a guest during a half inning. Like any other person that would be like, I'm sure if Ian Eagle was in, let's say Ian Eagle went to a Yankee game.
Right.
You would put Ian in the booth, right, for like a half inning or an inning. Kind of promote net basketball, the season's coming up.
Yeah, but don't take this the wrong way. Ian's a legend. You guys aren't.
Wow.
No, but this show is as important, if not more important, than the Nets broadcast.
Oh, stop it. Stop it.
All right, well, that's my opinion.
I don't like that, Don. I don't like that you just sat there and took Ian Eagle's a legend and you're nothing.
Because he agrees.
No, because I agree. Ian Eagle is compared to me. No, I'm not going to sit there and work that angle.
Stop.
I'm just going to work. I'm going to go
you
after
guys
the
are in
Nets
the exact same. You and Ian Eagle in the exact same room. You're having dinner together.
No, that's not true.
No.
Sure.
Don's
saying
in a little alcove room.
He wouldn't have Ian on, even though Ian is very, very funny. One of the driest sense of humor. He's like Monty Python level. Like, he's tremendous.
Yeah.
You'd have Ian on to promote the Nets. And all I'm saying is we're on 4 hours a day, 5 days a week, every day. We are on Yes more than the Yankees and the Nets.
By the way, this just in breaking news.
What's
I don't
that?
Know if you've even heard this yet, Mike.
No.
I just found out Ian Eagle's grandson, who's only 6 months old, is now the voice of the Vancouver Canucks.
Yeah.
No, I think he doesn't have a grandson. He signed to a futures contract.
He'll be starting
hockey
as soon as he turns 18.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm excited about a guest tomorrow. We have Jeff Perlman on, who's written a book about the Lakers' three-time champions under Phil Jackson. It's called Three Ring Circus. It's a fascinating book. And I wonder what kind of pushback Jeff is going to get, because since Kobe Bryant's death, he's almost been looked at as a mythical, godlike figure. And in this book, he is absolutely loathsome. He doesn't have a friend on the team. Everybody on the team, Shaq, everybody, Phil Jackson, despises him. So obviously, Jeff is writing about a long time ago. Maybe Kobe changed, but the way Kobe is thought of now,
right,
compared to the way he's written about, I can't wait to talk to Jeff about it tomorrow. But I don't know if you guys have read the book yet, but it's amazing how bad Kobe comes off in this book.
It's right there next to my bed, ready to go. As soon as I'm done with the Tobe Blake book, I'm diving right into it.
Well, I don't think you're going to get it done by tomorrow.
No.
Well, then how does it help you?
Well, that means I'll have a bunch of questions because I won't know.
By the way, people, it is helpful in interviews with a book to have read the book. But, I mean, the audience hasn't read the book, and they want to just get the stories that would make them want to go read said book. Now, fortunately, you're a... Is there a word, vociferous?
No, but that's not what you mean. Vociferous is somebody who talks a lot.
What about voracious?
Voracious reader, yeah.
You're a voracious reader, Michael. You consume things. You consume books the way Don LaGreca in his prime consumed Doritos.
I read more books than Michael. Way more books than Michael.
Yeah, but I mean, how many would they? How much would they apply to interviews? Unless we're doing a Revenge of the Nerds
booger book.
Listen, I think Toe Blake would be on if he was alive.
Who's Toe Blake?
We're going to need that coach as a drop at some point, RJ.
I had a hunch as it was coming out of my mouth this was not going to play well for me, but it is.
He was
it is.
The head coach of the Canadiens when they won five straight Stanley Cups in the 50s.
I'm guessing his name is Toe Blay, and his first name isn't Toe, last name Blake.
No, his
no, B-L-A-K-E.
And his kid's sister called him Hecto, and that's how he became Toe Blake. But the point is, I've read books when we did the interviews, but I got the book like on Saturday.
I sent you, both of you, I sent you the electronic book over
read,
a month
I don't
and a half
books
ago.
Electronically. Won't read. If my mom wrote a book, I wouldn't read it electronically.
Well, I don't understand. You have an iPad, right? Because the only reading you do is in the toilet, and you don't want to bring an iPad into the toilet.
I only read actual books. I'm not reading off the iPad.
Wow. Very strong take by you.
Hey, Don, 1960 call. They want to talk.
No, that's not fair. I don't like it either. I tried, Michael. I opened it twice. The thing you sent us, the PDF. And it's just hard. It's an awkward way to read. I don't know how you did it, honestly.
You're both children, that's why. Anyway, it's time for the T-Mobile call to the bullpen where listeners weigh in on all things MLB. Let's go to Louie in the Bronx. Louie.
Thank you guys for taking my call. So I was just wondering, Gary Sanchez, right? He breaks onto the scene in 2016. And he has two phenomenal seasons. But then he has these three horrendous seasons, and we're trying to justify it saying, hey, he's in a rough patch. We've had it wrong the entire time. This is truly who he is. And those two first seasons were just a fluke. And again, this is coming from me. I'm Gary Sanchez's biggest fan.
Well, he hasn't had three terrible seasons. I'll look up right now. He had a terrible second half last year, and then that's somewhat alarming, but he's made the All-Star game a couple of years in a row. I have his stats right here. So even if you look at last year and say, wow, it was not a good year, Gary Sanchez-wise, well, let's take a look at what he did.
While you're doing that, the point is, this isn't Kevin Moss, all right? This is a guy that did it for, got called up in 16, did it all at 17, and the first half of 18. So we know he can do it. Something's happened.
2019, he had 34 home runs and 77 ribbies. Now, he did have a .232 batting average. Like, but his OPS was .841, which is very good. In 2018, injuries limited him. He only played in 89 games, still at 18 home runs. In 2017, he had 33 home runs and 90 ribbies. And a batting average of .278. I mean, that's a great catcher, those numbers. But he hasn't. His batting average has gone down dramatically. You know, .232 in 2019, and this year he's at .134. And he's not slugging that much. He's slugging at .339. That's not acceptable. And his OPS is .585. That's not him.
But there's enough of a sample size to say that we know he can do it.
Right.
So what happened to it?
How did he
get it back?
I don't know if you can get it back.
If all he had on his resume was the close to the 16 season, you could say maybe it was just a fluke. But I think there's enough at bats there where he completely raked, where you say it's not a fluke.
Do you want my guess? And it's all it is a guess. They have been obsessed with recreating him as a catcher, making him frame better, getting him down on one knee lower so he can frame the. I think that they broke Gary Sanchez because they're so obsessed with bettering him as a catcher. That's what happened. That's what I think.
It's such a great point because any other position on the field, Michael, you can just hope that the ball doesn't get hit to you. but a catcher has to catch, you know, every pitch. It's what's that music?
Michael went to a dance hall. He's in Kingston, Jamaica.
No, I thought it was put on hold when I was talking.
No, you're complete. Michael's plane just landed in Kingston, and he's meeting up with Wayne Wonder in the dance. Michael K in the dance.
But you know what I'm saying, Michael?
I really don't get it. I there's nobody in the ballpark. I don't understand why they play the music.
And now,
this
and by
loud.
The way, we get. I'm sorry. Whatever. I'm not going to complain. Michael yelled at me yesterday, and I complain. But we get 40 minutes of peace and quiet, and now in an empty stadium, it's going to be blaring for the next 3 hours.
But if I'm a right fielder with the yips, I can just pray that the ball's not hit to me, and maybe right. It won't be. I mean, there's a possibility the entire game the ball may not hit to me. But when you're a catcher, it's every pitch.
They demand so much of their catchers.
It's a great point. It's probably
it. It has to be because the guy didn't forget how to hit. Let's go to Anthony in Westchester.
Framing's important, but not that important.
What's up, guys? How you doing today?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. On the Sanchez thing, I mean, listen, nobody obviously wants to see the sexy thing as Higashioka or Kratz playing. They want to see Sanchez because it's the Yankees and the name and this and that. But, Michael, why do the Yankees not have names in the back of their jersey again? It's because the only thing that matters is the interlocking and why in the front. They have to do what makes them win. This is not Little League. Not everybody gets to play. I don't care about Gary Sanchez's psyche. I'm a Yankee fan. I want to see the team win. And guess what? If his psyche is that weak, he shouldn't be playing in New York. That's how I feel about it personally. And I'm a big Sanchez believer. When you look at his numbers since 17 in OPS, I believe he's second in catcher since then, only behind Real Muto.
Yep.
He can do it. He's just having an awful season. It's even truncated even more because it's a 60-game season, and there's no fans in the stands. And like you guys just said, you know, Don said it perfectly. The right fielder can hide over in right field like I used to in Little League. But when I had to go behind the plate and I was missing every ball left and right, it was seen all the time. You got to just play who's going to help you win today. That's all that matters.
I would agree with you, Anthony. I wonder what they're going to do because they do believe in Gary Sanchez, and they always say he's one swing away from unlocking it, but are you really going to take that chance in the postseason? Now, Higashioka is a really good defender, strong hands, frames beautifully, but he's not a great hitter, although he had 3 home runs yesterday. He has some power, so it's not like you're choosing Johnny Bench over Gary Sanchez. You're choosing Kyle Higashioka over Gary Sanchez. I'm intrigued to see what they're going to do, guys. It's not an easy decision.
But when healthy, Michael, is... I know you want that circular lineup, but you're probably not going to have that with Gary in there anyway. So it's not like you're desperate for offense here. You're going to have plenty of offense. And as you said, Higashioka is not going to be an automatic out, but you know what Sanchez could be? This could be a guy that's going to strike out like 4 straight times.
Well, Gary is very close to making out 9 out of 10 times when he comes to the plate. I mean, that's, right. I'm not making that up. He's hitting 130.
So I'm not exactly sure what you're losing. Now, I understand if you're a team that struggles to score offensively and you're just hoping he finds it to be able to carry you. He's never going to be asked to carry this team offensively. There's plenty of guys that can do that.
This is the loudest the music's ever been.
No, it was worse 2 days ago.
It was worse 2 days ago than this?
I think so, Don, don't you?
Well, it's the first time I'm noticing. I think it's louder today.
Really?
I do, too. And the music is not something I like.
It's a good song, Bring 'Em Out by T.I. I'm a big fan.
You should not be able to know the song.
I know every song they play.
No, but I'm saying that it's loud enough that you can know what song it is.
I know, and I could do a whole... You know what we should do?
I think the music's loud enough for them to know the song on Jerome Avenue.
Right. If they're going to be this loud, maybe I'll just DJ... I'll, like, do a little talk-up on each song.
Oh, and you could do it, too.
Oh,
the Michael
yeah.
K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. I will tell you this, though, guys. Tomorrow, they're on the road. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, they're on the road.
Beautiful.
The only other time that we'll ever be doing it while they're warming up is next Friday against the Marlins. So I think we can handle it.
Weird thing is, I hear that while they're on the road, they still play music loud starting at 3:15 every day.
We have not had that issue yet.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Browns against the Bengals on Thursday Night Football tonight.
Ugh.
And it becomes almost a really big game for the Browns. We know the Bengals are rebuilding with a new quarterback in Joe Burrow. But for the Browns, there seems to be a disconnect between Baker Mayfield and Odell Beckham Jr. I think it's gone 11 straight games that Odell Beckham Jr. has not had 100 yards receiving. And, Don, we have certainly jumped on Dave Gettleman a lot, and he's deserved it. And I don't, to this day, I still don't know why they signed Odell to that big contract. But getting rid of him was so smart because I don't think he's a guy that makes people better. He has to be in a really good situation. And the Giant receiving core is just fine right now. Shepard, Slayton, Tate, they're fine without Odell. Mm-hmm. They really, really are. So I look at it and go, bravo to Dave Gettleman to get what he got for him. Because you got Jabril Peppers, who's a really important player on that team. You got draft picks as well. That's about as well as you're going to do. Because I think if the Browns decide to trade Odell, they're not going to get that.
No. They're probably not, and it's just it's going nowhere. And he's hurt. He's a wonderful wide receiver, Michael, but it's
wait, what's his status right now?
Well, he's fine now. He's playing. He's fine. But he had 11 yards in the first game? Yeah. Also, I want to know one thing. What has Baker Mayfield ever done to deserve 800 commercials? Who decides this?
He was the first overall pick.
Oh, okay. Joe Burrow's the first overall pick. Does he have 800 commercials on the air?
I don't know. Maybe he's just not that type of personality. I don't know.
I mean, I know you guys don't like when I go here, but if you're a charming white QB with a little bit of swag, there's a lot of money to be made. You don't even have to perform. I'm sorry. It's true. And Baker Mayfield can do whatever he wants, regardless of how he plays. But this team is, you mentioned it earlier, Michael, and you really hit the nail on the head. You talk about high pressure for a week two tonight. And don't get me wrong, the Celtics Heat game is the best event tonight to watch. But this is an important game. They can't lose to a rookie quarterback and a Cincinnati team in week two. They were dreadful last week. They're like the Jets. They never move forward. They're just the same team.
It's awful. It really is awful.
They have Chubb, Landry, and Odell, and nothing?
If you look at it, I believe it's a 7-point spread, and we're going to have RJ Bell on next, but I mean, if I was going to take this game, I'd be tempted to take the Bengals. I really would. I mean, what makes you think that the Browns are a good team? That they should be a touchdown favorite over anybody?
Anybody.
They just keep changing coaches and keep changing quarterbacks. It's a mess because they just don't find the right people, Michael.
You know, and that's the real problem with a guy like Odell, and here's where we can get into the conversation about what Keyshawn said this morning about the Jets being on a list of places Odell can go. You guys know, I mean, I'm a bit of an Odell defender in that I believe his talent level is so ridiculously high that there's a lot, I'd give him a lot of consideration in most settings. But you cannot send a guy like Odell, a guy who can easily be unhappy. He cannot be in a weak locker room. He can't. Like, that. He is the worst kind of player to put on a team that doesn't have winning ways and great leadership. So do you guys think, like, if he were to be considered for the Jets, would you want that for Sam?
No.
Like, yes, you get an amazing weapon, but if it doesn't go well, it's a disaster.
Yeah. Don remembers this. If you were around and you saw what Jeremy Shockey did to Eli, he neutered him. I mean, when you have a diva receiver like Shockey was a diva tight end, and a diva receiver like Odell Beckham Jr., you're gonna usurp the quarterback's power, and you're going to want the ball all the time. I'm sure that's happening with Baker Mayfield. It's not good. So if I'm the Jets and I have an opportunity, first of all, I've said this from the very beginning, and now with all the injuries, that he has no weapons, Sam Darnold, none. And even that being the case, I would not trade for Odell Beckham Jr. I just wouldn't.
You can't lose with him, right? Because if he starts to lose, that's when he starts to get itchy, and Gase is never going to allow him to be himself. And it just becomes just a... And we saw in 2016 when he was the only weapon. You know, the Giants were able to ride that to an 11-5 record, but that was an established quarterback, and they were able to focus on him. And Odell's not getting any younger, by the way, either. You know, so it's probably going to take a couple of years to turn the corner. So when you do turn the corner, is Odell going to be a guy that's going to be that great for you in that time.
Let's go to the 98.7 T-Mobile listener line, where listeners weigh in on all things sports, and we'll go to Thomas in New Jersey. Thomas.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hi, guys. That was good. That was a very good impression.
Very good.
Outstanding.
Thank you, thank you. Two quick points from a non-Jets fan about Gase and just, like, some red flags. So number one would be his initial press conference. If you Google image search Adam Gase press conference, it's like he just walked out of a fish show. He is whacked out of his brains.
Well, just because of his eyes. That's not fair, Thomas. He had weird eyes.
All right. Well, number two. Well, last year you guys had him on, and right before Thanksgiving, you were asking him about his family, and he said he wasn't going to see them. He was going to be in the office.
Right. He didn't know where they were going to be.
Right. And that weekend, they lost to the winless Bengals. So just two red flags, I think, that he is just garbage.
Well, I mean, I would never call anybody garbage. They were 7-9 last year after a 1-7 start. I don't really put that much of a big deal on 6-2. I've said that over and over. I don't want to repeat myself because, you know, 6-2 against, when your season's over is not that big of a deal. But we've got to wait and see. You know, we were talking with our PD today. He said, well, what happens if they win against San Francisco? Well, then we change our tune. But was there anything that you saw last Sunday that makes you think that even though San Francisco comes east and is injury ravaged, that they're going to beat San Francisco? I'd love to see it. Let's see. Let them be creative.
Anything can happen. You know, what if the Mets win 5 in a row and get into the playoffs? I mean, we got to see it happen first. And we're not basing all of our opinions on Adam Gase based on what happened on Sunday. There were questions going in, right? I thought that from a standpoint of talent, there might have been enough there for them to do something. The one thing that I was really concerned about, Peter, you remember, all summer long was, do they have the right coach? So let's not make it about what happened on Sunday. The Bills are a good team, all right? They lost. Everybody's entitled to a bad day. But are you entitled to a bad day when all you did all summer long was sell us on the 6-2 second half of the season on how you were better than you were last year? Your general manager's a raving lunatic about how upset he is that nobody expects him to do anything. And then you lay an egg like that. But we're basing it off of a lot more than just one game. So even if they did find a way to beat San Francisco, okay, continue. Show me. Because remember, they beat the Cowboys last year. We were all giddy. They're turning it all around. What happened? Right? So that's a ridiculous point. What if they went against San Francisco? Okay. All right, that's one game. Now show me more. Now build off of that. Win 4 or 5 in a row. Be a good team. Anybody could beat anybody any given Sunday. They have some wins like that on their resume. But they've never been able to find a way to get it to count, to get it to stick. Seems like whenever there's something that it's the defining moment of this team, that's when they, the bed. And right. So it can't be it's about one game.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
So there was a story today in SI that suggested that the Giants should trade Saquon Barkley right now because they're just not going to get anything out of Barkley while they're a team that's, it's you know, kind of rebuilding. And it made me think of Don, and this is going to be one of Don's finest moments.
Okay.
Because, you know, he pretty much nailed this. And there was a story in the Times, by a gentleman by the name of Mike Tanier, and he listed all the big deals signed by running backs. So Kamara, $77 over 5 years, $77 million. Dalvin Cook, $63 million over 5 years. Then he mentioned Le'Veon Bell's contract $52.5 over 4 years. Then he mentioned Todd Gurley, who signed a 5-year, $60 million extension with the Rams and is gone. And what he's saying in the story in the Times is you can get marginal. I think he had a great line. He said, paying a running back a lot of money is like paying $80 for a nice wine and paying $20 for a nice a box wine. He said, and except for the most vigilant, you know, palate, they're not going to tell the difference.
Right.
You're just not going to tell the difference. You could actually get drunk and enjoy yourself on the box of wine and save $60. And he's saying, once you get rid of the, like, look at the Rams. The Rams have a low-paid replacement for Gurley, who had a really good game last week against the Cowboys. So it does beg the question, are the Giants committed? Because Kamara has set the level now, $77 million. Are you going to give him $77 million after this year? Because this is the end of his third year when you usually extend right. the guy. Are you going to do that on this team and then maybe not get a great player at the end of that deal and waste that money when you could bring in a fourth-round draft pick, if you draft well, who can give you somewhat similar type of production? What do you do if you're the Giants?
Well, to me, Michael, giving him a big contract just accentuates the mistake even further. And again, this is coming from somebody that likes the person, and I think he's a tremendous athlete as well, but it was a mistake picking him up. We're seeing that now for picking him second overall. But by paying him big money, it's accentuating the situation. It just is. It's unfortunate, but it is. Now you're going to invest all that money, and what is it going to mean? Is it going to free you up to be able to get other things? So I think you let it play out the contract, and then, you know, if he's got to go, he's got to go, whether it's via free agency or whatever, because I don't want to trade him for what? You're not going to get a first-round pick for him.
You'd have to get a first-round, but it would be a low first-round. Right. You're not going to get a top, you know, it's not going to be the second pick in the draft like the right. Giants used on him.
Right, so you're never going to get the value back, unfortunately. If you get a first-round pick back, I guess you can justify it, but you probably wouldn't even get that because all the other big general managers are thinking, I'm not going to use a first-round pick to trade for this guy because they're thinking the same thing. And I do see a benefit of keeping him because he is a good player. And your young quarterback is probably going to need the weapon as he's growing. Because if you traded him, let's say you got the first round pick that you were looking for.
Right.
And then you trade him away. Now Deion Lewis and Wayne Gallman are your running backs. That's not really going to help the maturation of your young quarterback, right?
You're taking
a weapon away from him.
If you have a running back that blocks on blitzes, right now you can't keep him for third down in a blitz situation.
Right, that's a good point too, because maybe Goldman can do that better in blocking. But listen, I'm not throwing him away for nothing, and I'm going to just try to accentuate what I have. I think it was a mistake, but he does have some talent. He might be able to help my quarterback grow during this time, but. You know, you're not going to get a first-round pick for him.
The guy in the Times writes, the Jaguars released Leonard Fournette, right? Rather than pay him Cook Kamara money. So he went to Tampa Bay. He had 5 yards on 5 carries. And you know who the Jaguars used? Illinois State undrafted rookie James Robinson gained 90 yards from scrimmage in the Jaguars' victory. I'm telling you, as great as Saquon is, we've never been able to prove it. But you've always said that the Giants ordered, we've got to try to make Eli a winner at the end.
Right.
That's the only reason you would draft a great running back like that with the second pick in the draft. When the world is your oyster, you could pick anybody that you want with that second pick in the draft. I mean, talk about miscalculation. They didn't have a chance. They were so bad those last couple of years.
No, it's awful. And now you're going to have him in his third year on a team that's likely not a playoff team. Now he goes into his fourth year, and then maybe you start to turn the corner, and then it's going to be time to pay him. And you're not going to pay him. So I guess I'd be open to trading him, but you know, you give him away for a fifth-round pick, and then you just ask yourself, is it going to hurt my quarterback? If you don't think it's going to hurt your quarterback, and you make a great point, too, he's not an excellent pass blocker, so you know, then I think you have to think about it, because he's going to be gone anyway. Right? If you've committed not to paying him, and I think it would be a mistake to pay him, and he's going to be gone anyway, then I might as well try to get something back for the investment.
I hate. Two things I hate related to the same thing. Number one, I hate how right Don is about this subject. Like, number one, I hate it because he's been beating the same damn annoying drum for 4 years. And every time it comes up,
he's more
right. In the most unobnoxious way. He has to remind us of the same point. No, hold on, hear me out. Okay. But he's so right that there's nothing else for him to say. And I also hate it because it's sad. I grew up on the era of if you had a great running back, that was your deal, baby. That's that. I mean, when I was a kid, the biggest star in Washington was John Riggins. And going all the way up, it feels like to the Adrian Peterson era. If you had a running back, you had an offense. And Don is just right. It may change one day, but in this era, there is just no big-time money value in running backs because look what happened with Le'Veon in Pittsburgh. The second he left, John Connor went from no name to he's Le'Veon Bell. It happens over and over.
The thing that makes this even more frustrating is that if you're the Giants, there's no finer person that you'd want as a face of your team than Saquon Barkley. He's perfect. He's the perfect person. Does everything right, says the right things. Tiki Barber criticized him about learning how to block, and he handled that well today. He just gets it. But I might be alone on this. I think I might even be alone with Don. He's a big play back. He's not a consistent back. So if he goes 9 times into the line and gets no yards, and then on the 10th carry, then he gets 50 yards, all of a sudden he's averaging 55 yards a carry. To me, he's not. Because you might have had 3 straight 3-and-outs on those first 9 carries. He's an all-or-nothing guy. He's got to get me more yards when the offensive line doesn't open up holes for him.
If he was built like Henry or Elliott, then you wouldn't necessarily have to have these gaping holes, and he would, with pure force, be able to get
the
yards.
But he's strong, Don. He is strong.
But he's just not that kind of a back. I mean, he's immediately, as soon as he gets the ball, looking to, deke his way, past the line of scrimmage. I mean, he's not Barry Sanders. Barry was really special, but it's that kind of level where he's just trying to make people miss. And that's why, as great as Barry was, he was completely useless in the red zone. Right?
I mean, yep.
You couldn't use him at the goal line. They take him out of games at the goal line. And in games where you were just able, you had a defense that can focus on him, you'd be able to shut him out. Take a look at Sanders' resume. You get a game in Lambeau in December, forget it. He's out. He's done. They couldn't get the traction on the turf, and he would just be completely limited, as great as he was.
Now,
if Saquon is that, then forget about it. But even if he can be a 1,200 or 1,300 yard back, again, the investment doesn't make a lot of sense, because if the offense is clicking, I can get somebody to do that at a heck of a lot cheaper and much lower in the draft.
And we can talk about this till we're blue in the face, and I believe that they will pay him the money. I really do, because of the guy that he is and the fact that he was the second pick. Even if Gettleman's gone, To just not take advantage of the second pick.
But here's this is the part I have to argue with, that I have to say to you guys. Is there value to that? Like, we talk about the Giants no longer being the Giants and the Giant way, okay? Yes, in this moment, because of how this team is constituted, Saquon is could end up being in a position where you have to overpay him. But he also exemplifies everything about the Giant way.
It's hard.
So do you want to be Bill Belichick, where you go, I have no emotions, and when the guy runs out of, it doesn't matter, when the dollars don't make sense, you get rid of him? Or do you want to be the kind of organization that's like, yes, we make smart decisions, but with certain guys who lead and carry themselves a certain way, we will invest in them because of the person they are.
What did that get them into with Eli? Sometimes you get yourselves into a situation where you bury yourself. So it's better to have no soul.
But here's the issue, Peter, and it works to their benefit right now. Right now, their roster, there's only one other guy on this team that you're going to have to pay, and that's Daniel Jones, right? Eventually, you're going to have to use your free agent money to find the edge pass rusher, right? And maybe they have their left tackle, but right now we'll have to wait and see. But the areas in which you're going to have to invest money, the only way it makes sense to give Barkley that money is if you're not going to spend it someplace else. But you don't want to not be able to win over that talented edge pass rusher defender because you gave the money to Barkley. You don't want to put yourself in a situation like the Cowboys did, where they gave Elliott the money and now they're squawking whether they, how they can make it work with their quarterback. Like, you don't want to get in a situation where now all of a sudden maybe you can't pay Jones. And now Jones wants more, and you don't have the money because you gave it to Barkley. So if you've got plenty of room under the cap and you can make it work, I understand what Peter's saying, because he's a great kid.
I agree.
You don't want that to come at the expense of your quarterback, your edge pass rusher, or your left tackle, places where you have to commit big-time money.
Well, let's go to the 98.7 T-Mobile listener line, where listeners weigh in on all things sports, and we'll go to Eric. He's in Boston. What's up, Eric?
Wow, gentlemen, this is a real honor to talk to you guys. I love your show. I listen to you guys instead of Boston Sports Radio.
Cool.
Thanks, man.
And, you know, yeah, even when I'm not sure exactly the particulars of, you know, it's not an issue that's on my immediate front burner, I love listening to you guys. And I'll tell you the truth, I became a Michael Kay fan through Peter Rosenberg.
Oh, how?
I know. All the way back to his previous podcast before Cheap Heat. So anyway, big fan.
Thanks, man.
I'd actually, if I can say one thing real quick, you guys just did such an amazing job during the pandemic, especially the beginnings of it when there was no sports. It was just a great listen. I love the chemistry between you three. I wish you would bring back Don's List.
We will.
I loved him.
We will.
Me too.
Okay. Anyway, so I have two quick things. One is, So Odell Beckham, how do you think you'd be as a fit in the Patriots locker room with, I know, you know, new quarterback, but still Belichick's running it? I think that'd be perfect for
I think that would be the perfect landing spot for him. Perfect. Because Belichick won't put up with the nonsense. Look what Belichick got out of Moss. I think it would be the perfect landing spot, and it would be the sort of thing that Belichick would do.
No, it would make sense. It really would make sense. And he would find a shrewd way to get him from Cleveland for
nothing.
Less than they were asking for.
Chicago White Sox beat the Minnesota Twins just now. Mm. The White Sox clinch a playoff berth for the first time since 2008. And with the Twins' loss, the Yankees creeping closer to the fourth spot in the playoffs, which would mean that their first round would, in fact, be at Yankee Stadium.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Damian Woody, our good friend, said on our morning show here, which is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Well, why do we have such long name shows? It's too much.
Do you realize... Well, they could shorten it, but they won't because they have respect that the people that are on it should have their name on the show.
Don, you took the words out of my mouth.
Only show on the station that doesn't have everybody's name on it. It's the only one.
Wow, I didn't ever think about that.
Every single one.
That's management's situation, not Michael Kay's.
Not what I heard.
Here's a Damian Woody talking about Adam Gase.
Anyone who watched that game against Buffalo, that was an embarrassment. Don't let the scoreboard fool you. That game was not competitive at all. And if you string together these type of performances, if you're a head coach, man, I think as an organization, you're going to have to make a move at some point. So, listen, they got San Francisco this week, and if they don't show any improvement, man, this fan base, Key, you know this fan base, they're just not going to tolerate it. Not going to tolerate their team looking like an embarrassment on TV.
Now, I love Damian. Especially when he's on a good phone line like that. But the owner just called the coach a genius. Brilliant. Yeah. He's not going anywhere. Everybody has to stop. I don't care if the fan base. I mean, it's not like they could burn their tickets. There's nobody allowed at MetLife Stadium anyway. This is the perfect year to have this happen.
I know. I don't think he's going anywhere either. But, Michael, we've seen like the vote of confidence, and then 3 weeks later, somebody gets fired. You know, so it is odd that it happened in week one.
The guy's running the organization.
Well, you can't. They won't do it because who's going to call Chris to tell him no? Now I'm with you. I think it benefits them that, you know, Dan and Greg aren't doing the pregame show outside where a bunch of fans are like, you know, booing or not even showing up, and the place is half empty. So they get that break. You know, but I'm sure they're listening to the calls and they're getting eviscerated. But I guess they can live with that. But it's not affecting their bottom line at all. People aren't canceling their season tickets right now, I wouldn't think. So
it's
just a matter of
reacting to an angry fan base.
But somebody would have to tell Chris this is not the right guy.
Maybe Peyton.
That might be what it takes, honestly.
Want to know something crazy, Don?
What's that?
What's the name of our morning show?
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
Yes.
Don, how many words is that?
That's
four. That's if you include the and.
Yeah.
It's four. How many words are in the Michael Kay Show?
Four.
Wow. Interesting.
I don't know what you guys want from me. How's it working out for both of you?
Okay.
You both live
just,
in
I just found it curious,
you,
that's
you're
all.
Making
I just found
amounts
it curious.
Of money being
I
on the number one show. What do you
curious.
Care what the name is?
Mm-hmm. I just found it curious. I don't care. The check's clearing. I mean,
did Ted Danson argue, I want my name on Cheers? No, he just said, okay, it's Cheers.
That's not even, Michael, that's not even apples and oranges.
Vicki Lawrence. Did Vicki Lawrence and Lyle Waggoner demand that their name is on the Carol Burnett show?
So you're Carol Burnett.
No, they were on the show just as much as Carol Burnett, if not more.
If not more. I love when he says the if not more.
Take it up with the powers that be.
But the powers that be. Go all the way to Norby. The powers that be have decided that everyone on every other show gets named. Everyone. You got Zoop in there with two former great professional athletes. They still squeezed his name in. Han is working with Bart Scott. Great Jet linebacker. They worked Han's name in there.
You know, it's right?
By does the way, Robin Quivers ever argue with Howard? I want so my name that, on the show.
All right, listen. No, all right.
See,
you win.
We always come
you
back
win.
Here.
No, Michael just won. Michael won. I'm Robin Quivers. Okay. Now I know my role, and now we can move forward. No, thank you. It's over. No, it's
Michael,
done.
You're so
it's
crazy.
Done. That's good. No, it's it.
And you know
right.
What, Peter?
No, that's
Peter,
it. No, I
Peter
wanted,
is
no,
Fred.
I wanted it defined.
I'm
you
Fred.
Defined it. And it's not. That's like the 100th time you've done it, and this is the 100th time I've reacted to it. But you know what? It's good. Thank you. Michael, you're absolutely right. Peter, how did you have the audacity to bring that? Robin Quivers would never be on the Howard Stern show. Don LeGrand on the K show? You're right. Michael, absolutely.
This is,
your witness,
this,
counselor.
This is how,
your witness,
of,
counselor.
Because of petty jealousy, this is how great shows break up.
Yeah, I'm not going
make
anywhere.
A stand here.
I told you, I'm happy.
This is the hill you want to die
I'm
on.
I'm happy. I'm not dying on any hill. I'm just saying, thank you. And it's over. You cleared it up.
Okay, good.
You cleared it up.
Robin Quivers. And I'm Fred. At least Robin's the co-host. I'm a producer. I play sound effects. That's
all
it.
All right, so you know what? Then you could be Gary.
I'm not Andrew. Andrew's Gary. Much better looking.
Gary's good looking.
Really?
Yeah. I live very close to Gary. He's a good guy.
Why do you? You know what? You know what? See, Don, I got to point out another thing. This is what makes Michael a disgrace. Gary Delabate is a very successful man. He has a great life.
Sure.
He and no one who loves him personally would ever argue he's very good looking. No one. That's part of his brand is that he's not good looking. Come on. You just lied right to everyone's face.
I'm not
How
lying.
Can I ever trust you now?
I find he's a good looking guy. Let's go to the
put your hand on the Bible and tell me that again. Don, am I wrong?
Let's go to the 98.7 T-Mobile listener line where listeners weigh in on all things sports, unlike what Don and Peter are doing now, annoying imps. Let's go to Mo in Rhode Island. Mo?
Hey, what's up, guys? Without Michael K, it's just the show. You guys say it all
That's
the time.
That's right.
So you don't
you're
even
right.
put your name in it.
Do you know what this show is without Michael?
Mo, thank
it's
you, buddy.
The show.
Mo, you're always welcome on the show, my friend.
Mike, that's funny, man.
That was music to my ears. The point I want to make, the last two Jets hires, they hired the wrong guy. They hired guys that got beat by other guys in the division. Sean McDermott was beating on Adam Gase while he was in Miami and took it into New York. And Doug Marrone, the 1 year he was in Buffalo, beat up on Rex Ryan. And then Rex Ryan goes to Buffalo, and the Jets could have got Doug Marrone. And
right.
I think about it.
Doug Marrone is not here because of an article that was written by someone that had his credential revoked.
And that's why I like Joe Douglas. I don't think he does all that stuff. I don't know what McCagnan was doing. I have no clue what McCagnan was doing. But Joe Douglas seems to think things through. He's more thorough.
You know what, McCagnan, Mo? We agree with you. We like Joe Douglas, too. But the conundrum with Douglas when it comes to Gase... Is he completely coattailed to Gase? Is he beholden to Gase? Because Gase got rid of McCagnan and essentially told Christopher, who doesn't have any connections in the NFL, you know, this is the guy to go for, so he got the job. Now, he has 6 years left on his deal, and Gase has three, so I don't know how it works, Don, but I don't know if they're tied together. Would Joe Douglas say, you know what, he's not the guy. I know we're friends. He's not the guy.
I think he's his own man, Douglas, but at the same time, are you going to have fired the guy that got you the job?
It's a hard call. You guys are trying to do it with me, but I didn't get you the job.
Not me.
True. No.
Listen to what Rick DiPietro said. Ryan Hurley and Tim McCarthy have actually added both Rays to the name of our show. So Santiago and Dinahan will now be part of that show as well. DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Anyway, goodbye to yes. That's we start our coverage of Yankees Blue Jays in just a moment. But we stay here on 98.7. So let's see. It's going to be DiPietro, Canty, Rothenberg, Dinahan, Santiago. That's a long, long name show.
I got to tell you, it's a long name, but I think it's going to pay up big dividends.
You do.
Now, Don, you want to know the craziest part?
Tell us.
And I know this isn't the, you know, I don't always say the nicest things.
Never.
Sometimes I just say the truest things, Don.
Right.
Every other name on the station is on their show, all right?
Yes.
Are any other names on the show bigger in media than our names, which aren't on the show?
That's for you to say. I don't want to.
Hey, Don. I'm just saying, we could all be on the same playing field. You can't say anyone else is head and shoulders above us, and we're silent. Silent!
I just wonder, guys, you've both been at the station a while, right? So you both have the cell phones of Hurley and McCarthy.
Oh,
call them.
Call them.
I have nothing to do with the name of the show.
You're such a liar. You just told us Gary Delabate is a good-looking man.
He is a good-looking man.
You're so disgusting what you do. You know what? I make me the bad guy because I tell the truth. And you're the good guy because you lie? What kind of world, upside-down world, are we living in?
First of all, Gary has a really beautiful wife. What does that mean? He must have something going on.
Okay. He has a lot going on. He's successful. He's hardworking. He's a nice guy. He's rich. All true. He's not good-looking.
He is. I think you're wrong. I don't think you're good-looking. How about that?
So now you're lying again.
I think you're a troll.
Sit here. I don't want to manalize people, okay? But Peter is much better looking than Gary.
Thank you, Don. But and he's much richer and more successful,
It doesn't mean that Gary's not good looking.
But Michael, you love the Stern Show. You listen to it all the time. You know part of the character that is Gary, Baba Booey, a.k.a. Fafa Fooey, is that he's not good looking.
Well, okay, but I don't have to follow the Stern Show's evaluation of Gary. I've seen Gary in person. He's a handsome man.
Handsome.
Yeah.
So then what's Jimmy G? If Gary Delabate is handsome, he's gorgeous.
Yeah.
Okay, and what is, for example, Gary Delabate is handsome. Jimmy G is gorgeous. Right. Where does RJ Santillo fit in?
He's really, really handsome guy.
Okay, really, really handsome.
Yeah.
Got it. And I am troll under a bridge.
I don't want to put you under the bridge. Just a troll.
Okay.
Oh, what a bad guy you are. I mean, imagine saying that about people. It's unbelievable. You just couldn't let it go.
But you have to, because it's just a lie. There's nothing wrong with it.
The next time we're allowed to have parties, I'm going to have a party in my house, and I'm going to invite Gary Delabate. So
I know Gary. I've met Gary many times.
I want you in the same room so he can kick your small little butt all around the property.
I will look Gary Delabate right in his eyes without any respect and go, "You are not a good-looking man." No disrespect. There's none.
How is there no disrespect there?
Because
that's the height of disrespect.
Looks are random and arbitrary. Some have it, some don't. It's okay. He's got so many things going for him. You think Gary wakes up every day and feels great about himself because of his looks?
Yeah,
no,
maybe
he feels
he does.
Good because of all the other things he does.
I could see if you look like George Clooney. You're not even close. How dare you say that about another person?
But that's the thing. See, what you just said there, you said some more truth. I'm nothing like George Clooney. I am like a middling, average, okay-looking person. I admit that. I'm not on the top of the scale. I'm not at the bottom. I'm okay with that. We all have different strengths. What I'm not going to do is sit here and lie just for some... You know, it's maybe Delabate got to you in the same Joe Judge conversation. I don't know. I don't know, Don, but something's going on.
I'm a truth teller. That's all that's going on.
Yeah, some sort of truth.
I am. You're the worst.
Oh, and you know what? Coming up in ENN, I'm going to pull up another list of celebrities and ask Michael on his scale whether or not they're good looking. Then, Don, we're going to compare those celebrities to Gary Delabate.
I am not. First of all, I'm not going to put Gary Delabate in that spot. So you could take that segment and take a walk with it, okay? And we're going to take a break right now. And you're lucky you're not in the same room as me because I'd put my hand around your throat right now.
This pandemic has actually saved lives on this show.
It saved his today, I'm telling you that.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.